네.
이제 죄송한데 그 지금 다음 밑에 있으신 분 것
같습니다. So I'm going to talk about I'm not going to remind you about motivation that should have been done while I recited Sangye Chögyam with me, the last set of prayer that I started. So today, another tonight is Drupta, and talking about which I was dealing with the four truths, and we are dealing with the second truth, which is origin. And mainly there are two origins of suffering, delusions and karma. Or other way around, karma and delusions. We dealt with the first one. Tonight I'd like to talk about karma briefly. Okay. The origin of suffering principally are delusions, and there are many delusions, but they are subsumed under three, called three poisons of mind. What are they?
Desire, hatred, and negative thoughts.
Ignorance. The main one.
Desire, hatred, dechak. Hatred, shetang, kongro. Then ignorance. Mongba, maripa. Okay, thank you for the list. And what do you understand by desire? What does desire do to your mind? What does desire make your mind do? Yes.
It disturbs your emotions.
It disturbs your emotions.
Exaggerates
what?
Everything.
Okay. 그런 게 낸시기 대차기 아니 심 두그레서 아니 뒤도라 엔겔레가기 아니 심 두그마세 아니 저기 마임바지 유바지 쓰니 침부소셔 버레스 로다 소로다 라운
내가
Exaggerates and disturbs. In fact, all delusions disturb, and all delusions exaggerate. So what's different about your child, desire? Desire, what does desire do? It observes an attractive or beautiful object, and then it exaggerates the degree of the beauty the object has. So it does look at, you know, it does look at an object, and that is, yidhuwonga means appealing to the mind. It looks at an appealing object and considers it beautiful and exaggerates it.
Yes.
So what about hatred or anger? What do you understand by anger?
Exaggerate the repulsiveness of.
The 유유리 유변의 체지가 어느 쪽으로 다는 이게 뭐 침부 소셔 그래서
저도 얘도 뭐가 사나다 소소의 지목가 쇼다나다 내세 내가 생각 세나 내세 나한테도 와는 게
예 yes I accept that
내세 내세
and
What was it?
You can't hear. I'm translating.
Oh.
No,
yeah.
Can't hear what drummer
said. And the drummer said was, it exaggerates the object of aversion. You know, it exaggerates aversion. Geshe-la basically accepts the answer and then adds another element, which is anger. Looks at supposed object of aversion and develops malice.
The desire to inflict harm.
And a shame at Shana and a never kicked about a logic is the one.
The decision is
yeah, and therefore such a mind. Such a mental factor. It's not primary mind, it's a mental factor. So there's a difference between the control, anger, and hatred. And anger is an intention of harming, wanting to harm. Whereas hatred doesn't have the intent to harm except a deep dislike, disdain. So now we have talked about desire and hatred, which each of which observes, looks at appealing object and abhorrent object, and then you know develops a different perspective. Both of these arise obviously, as you all know, from ignorance. So now, how do you describe ignorance? What does ignorance do? Yeah. Okay, come on, please. This is really amazing. Geshe-la is trying to make it interactive, and people have in the past called for interaction. There is chance for
it. Clings to the notion of self.
Pardon?
Being intrinsic.
Say that again.
It clings determinately to the notion of self being intrinsic.
Peter, did you hear?
No.
It clings determinedly to the notion of self as intrinsic. And the any domain, timugi, any gangsa dang chula raba, and touch you do. Temper re. Simbi shimba loche resu.
Tumbi sende ta rongji chaban zimbi lati jau karwa.
Nare.
Ta tumbi sende ta ta ngandun chanda kumban tanja wado ngani pata chirao jisho jina tumbi to danzi ni jipa jau.
Bani chota dang?
Pata dawa chapa jina.
Timothy can see what is
Maribad on a Yonija Sakur.
Maribada.
Maribad on Jita Nijibajo.
Maribad and Jira.
I'm a Chiro to Tashongi. Only Maribad on Jita Ni Kajo.
So Geshe-la accepts the answer and like to now remind you. the difference between ignorance and the view of transcendent collection. Remember that? The view of the transcendent collection. And now, according to Chandrakriti, a proponent of Madhyamaka school, a proponent, an advocate of the highest school of thought, a great Indian master called Chandrakriti. According to him and his contemporaries, ignorance and the view of a transcendental collection are synonymous. They are not different. Whereas, according to another set of Indian masters, starting with Dharmakriti, the two are considered different.
Yes. Is Dharmakriti, isn't he in the first group, the one who considers them the same? Isn't that a Sangha and Vasubandhu who considers them different?
Okay. Geshe-la, anichik, dante geshe-la, loben chura-ar wa, loben chura-ar ki, dante ti, dimu ta jikta, maripa ta jikta chik zingat loben dao-ta wa jay-ar wa, dante chura-ar chibar wa sung-do.
Dante
kasing-ma geshe-la ki, loben kar-sa, loben pa-pa thome ta, loben inyi sung-sung-sar wa, hon-do chibar wa. No, and then and Robin Chiro.
Robin Chiro, the Padi Dawani Jin. Robin Chiro, the Sentomar.
Nare.
Sentomato, Tajo, Honey, Maribado, Jitani Chipakin. Papa Tomin, Robin, in Yeri, Maribado, Jitaka.
What did I say previously?
Previously, you said that Dharmakirti and Chandrakirti considered that ignorance was jigta, but that Asanga of Vasubandhu, Vasubandhu in the chapter of the five aggregates, considered that ignorance was simply mishepa, and that it actually led to
jigta,
but that it wasn't jigta. It was the analogy of the seeing the rope in the twilight, and the twilight was the maripa, and the seeing the rope as a snake was the
jigta. What Geshe-la just said was Pandit Dawai and Jigda Maripa Jig Dugres, Lobin Chota and Tada Dugre, Sumarawa. Yet unlike the containers, so that was a slip of his tongue. Fortunately, not that much speaker. Yeah, so. So thank you very, very much. Clarification from the floor, and so indeed, done. Okay, Michael, are you hearing me?
Yeah,
that's great. So Geshe-la says, Chandakirti, Dharmakirti, and Dignath. Okay, D-I-G-N-A-T-H, Dignath. The Sanskrit word is Dignath. And people of his group, they considered ignorance and citta one and the same. Whereas Vasubandhu and his elder brother Asanga, they considered the two separate. What I said before was a slip of the tongue. So, Buddhist masters like Chandakirti calls the view of the transcendent connection, because such a view, such a mental perspective or such a view looks at one's collection of aggregates of a body and mind, and since the aggregates are collected and they are also transient, so it's a collection of a transient phenomena, and therefore the view which looks at a collection of a transient phenomena is called the view of a transient collection, or according to Jeffrey Hopkins, the view of a transitory collection. So why is this view of the transcendent collection ignorance? It is ignorance, for ignorance is an obscuration, a mental obscuration, and that veils your mind from seeing nilup, means a mode of existence, the final mode of existence. That is to say, how things actually exist, apart from how they appear to exist. And that's called ignorance. And that function is exactly performed by a jitta, the view of a transcendent collection. The view of a transcendent collection really veils and puts a curtain before the mind, and therefore obscures it from seeing nilup.
Ani lo thade nengi thene mo kaji ta mi jipa kaso lo thade ne mati thendo jipa nande mo pe na thapa junzu bi loshi the la ani junzu bi loshi kono ani jita na jo mo the ani thapa jun chowa singe mumba tam the na mari pashe kudo ngi jo mo.
So, according to masters like Vasubandhu and Asanga, while they say that Marigpa, ignorance, and Jitta, their view of transcendent collection, are different. They are different only, I think, in names. they are nominally different. In terms of practical function, they do the same thing. And if you consider the analogy of looking at start coiled rope in twilight, and twilight is likened to the ignorance, and twilight and the belief or the mistake in the mind, there is a snake, an imputing snake, believing it to be snake is it's like a jitta. So so ignorance, you know, obscures the mind, and then it leads one to believe that self has inherent nature. So all, I think the difference is more nominal than practical function. So this is how, according to the first division of delusions, there are three, and you have given me three, and your understanding of that. So now, what are the six root delusions? According to second division, there are six root delusions. Please don't feel that he is testing you as you know, rejocking your memory, which is really, really helpful. Yes?
Desire, hatred, arrogance, ignorance,
okay, now,
deluded
slowly.
Doubt, and deluded view.
No. Vishala says good. Thank you.
可以叫他叫做什么？那我们，他叫谁？当提莫是吧？他叫牛毛金，大牛毛金是吧？马里巴拉。马里巴拉。
So, do other people understand, Michael? The six
rooms. I'm still catching up.
Pardon?
I'm still catching up.
Oh, you're still catching up. 나한테 the consul will change my Julie Tesha, as you know, consul Labilla Nagging in the Chigus, or consul Jason Guy, Jason Bachigus.
Yeah, good. Yeah. 니모시 그저 주의적으로
네네
가르쳐서
so these root delusions they arise because of their underlying causes. And what do you think are the causes of delusion?
Ignorance is the main cause of delusion. Oh, the predispositions of delusion.
Pardon? Would they bacha resa? Then?
And the
how many of there?
The five. Or six.
Six? Good to you, resa. Geshe-la knows English. Six. Okay, he's proactively speaking English now. And then second?
The object.
Object, you.
Engagement, is it? Mental engagement.
Yile cheba. Okay, that is the last one. Okay, but you can. You have that's great, that's okay.
Right.
We have got three now. Okay. Predisposition, object, mental engagement, and then
habitual. Hustle bustle.
Yeah. Hustle bustle. Duzi. Duzi. Dunzi. Four. Okay, I've got four now. Going on. Pardon?
Familiarity.
I've got five.
Explanations, false teachings.
Any?
Literature,
yeah. Tehsia lopa.
Lama lopa.
Tamna lopa lama. Lama. Very pleasing answer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Conversation, yeah. Peter.
Okay, Peter, what is familiarity? What do you understand?
Because you've done, engaged in those root delusions before, then you're prone to engaging them again.
Well, when you move, I thought when you move to the church, and whatever, you move to the energy, young, young, they want to dump a change, you know, and it shook me, and it. And what is hustle bustle?
Nightclubs.
And any physical and psychological hustle bustle? Thoughts, remember?
It's confusion.
Pardon?
Confusion created by senses and things, is
it? So
anyway, hustle bustle refers to keeping the wrong company.
Mm-hmm.
We keeping company, you know, who are hard to know that they are wrong, but they have a profound impact. So, Anyakun-sang, you said yila jeba, you know, your mental engagement. What is meant by mental engagement?
Involving in the object.
Pardon?
Involving in the object.
I suppose
it pertains more to desire than the other delusions, because desire involves itself in the object, whereas the other delusions are on like a stamp.
Mm-hmm.
The mind goes on like a stamp, but I imagine it's more to do with desire.
But the yellow cheva synergy ke rava kichala, yellow cheva synergy ke num shugal thim, num shugal thim na rava, and the yu tang ane chig num tang shugal. That dech marwa. Then they chill yil chab sigor some to us rawa. Manage pen docha. When a docha energy chapaki to a gana. Energy chapa to yul by shuber chen. New motion that no do. Energy chick casa tezin and chiba. When I'm only eating what you good on the yuko called tezi orwa. Did of chiris. And a yil chabas in it, pen chapa chana. But a yil of it. Tim Chimbush, dissolve.
No.
I think hatred would do the same.
Allowing yourself to.
What more? And can anybody add?
So what's the question again?
What is a mental engagement? One of the last of the six causes of delusion was. Is it yellow jibber?
It was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's mental engagement. And what did I say on the night? It was
cogitating on the desirability or the hatefulness of a person.
And it's like, and it's because you chatanyi ki yula raba. And it's like, de cha yuba dang. And it's like, cha ko yula cha yuba dang.
You're almost there.
And Geshe-la gives an example. Suppose you don't like someone, you really, you control, you're angry with the person. Then what you do is you you think about the way a person speaks, the way he speaks to you, the way he looks at you, Now, where he uses words and so on, and so you think about these and other things, and so that's called yira jiva. And then let anger play up stronger. Okay, then I talked about stages of development. Okay, nimong jitu, how do these poisons of mind crop up? The process. So anyway, let me cut to the chase. First, you get ignorance. So first you develop ignorance. Assuming that you consider Maripa ignorance and the Jikta view of transcendent collection separate. And anyway, first you get Maripa ignorance. Due to that, you develop Jikta. Jikta. And once you have a jikta, then it gives rise to prejudices for and against. And that is, you develop attachment to yourself and to things and people on your side. And you develop the opposite to things and people on the opposite side, on the other side. So as you develop, you know, jikta, the view of a transcendent collection, what it does is it considers that self has a true existence, or self-sufficient, substantially existent entity, and then consider that such a view about jikta is right, and that is called the view of false supremacy, or it's called the deluded view of deluded supreme view. And then that self exists the way the view of a transcendent collection perceives, and to adhere to that is extreme view, and based on these two, then you develop cynicism and disbelief that the Buddha taught four truths, and so that's the wrong view. Or the doubt you might have, the doubt whether or not the four truths really operate, exist in the way they were taught, is a deluded doubt. So this is how these wrong views stem from ignorance. So I've said it before, and I said again, and that's why I have gone over the delusion part once again. And that is, it's crucial that we identify what the delusions are, where do they arise from, and how do they arise, and so that is because of two origins of suffering. It is mainly delusions that perpetuate. And unless we uproot delusions, no matter how great deal of effort we address, or rather we make to address karma, it wouldn't be that effective. And so if you don't know what the delusions are, then it's like trying to shoot an arrow without identifying the bull's eye or the target, and groping in the darkness. Matters of our mind and consciousness are difficult for the mind to get a handle. Lord Chang is difficult to appear to the mind. Matters of mind, matters of consciousness are difficult for the mind to see. And even if the mind manages to see them, it is hard to express them verbally. So that's about it on delusions. And if you want to know more about finer niceties of delusion, then it would be, I would suggest that you refer to the fifth chapter, chapter 5 of Vasubandhu. Vasubandhu's writing Abhidhamma Kosha, or Abhidhamma Kosha, or the Treasury of Knowledge. So let me talk about now the second origin of truth, sorry, origin of suffering, which is karma. So what is karma? Karma is a mental factor. Karma is mind, you know. But karma is a mental factor called simba. This word is really hard to translate. Mostly it is translated as intention, and some people say the mentation, ment, you know, mind, mentation, mentation. Anyway, it is a mental factor. It's a secondary. It is one of the 51 It is one of the 51 secondary mental factors, and its job is to push the mind to its object, or to push minds, because we have many called many minds, to their respective objects. So now there are basic, as remember I said, the karma is a mental factor. So primarily there are two divisions of karma called motivating karma and motivated karma. Motivating, simbele. So anyway, somebody seems to be motivation, anyway, motivational. Anyway, motivating and simbele and sambele. Simba means motivation, motivating and motivated. To give an example, when you develop a deva, for example, the reverence towards Buddha, towards a Buddha, then it is that sense of a reverence which pushes the mind closer to the Buddha. And it pushes the mind to gain closer proximity. Before, that sense of reverence is physically expressed by way of a bows, prostration, verbally expressed by way of reciting mantras. Before you do this, the nudge, you know, motivating karma gives you to gain proximity towards the object. So based on that, then when you do prostration or when you recite the name mantra of Buddha, for example, you express the inner motivation outwardly in these, and then, you know, pushes you towards the Buddha. So now, so these are two instances of karma, motivating karma and motivated karma. So then we have this karmic collocation called lesapa, means a collection of karma, collect karma. So it's quite difficult to define, but with regard to karma, there is such a thing called collecting karma and performing karma. To collect karma and to perform karma. So then there can be four permutations. Okay. karma that is collected, not performed, performed, not collected, both, and neither. So the first permutation is a karma where it is performed and that's collected. And it should be other way around, it's collected and performed. So collection, everybody. So what does collection means? Collection means a state of a strong motivation to do something. Collection refers to, collection has a very specific meaning here. Collection karma refers to gathering forces of a motivation, of a strong motivation to do, a state of a strong motivation. And je means the actual doing of it, actual doing of it. So now the first permutation would be where a karma is performed as well as collected, would be, you know, a murder instances, all cases of murder, where somebody wanted to kill somebody, and that strong, you know, that strong wish to kill is collecting karma. And when that wish, during which, you know, they make plan and all that, and then they translate the wish into actual committing of the crime, which is the murdering, then that would be collection. So that would be instance of the first permutation. So, a karma where a karma which meets both collection and performance must be faced, and that is to say, its effect must be faced for one to be free of this karma. So let me give you, to make it clarify, if you dream killing somebody, okay, in your dream you kill somebody, that in that situation you only performed the karma, not collected.
No.
So then you wake up, and okay, during waking state, the next day, for example, then you are filled with a strong desire strong wish to kill somebody, but you couldn't do it yourself, and it is done by somebody else. You didn't do it yourself, it is done by somebody. In that case, there is only collection, not performance.
No.
So the case, the dream case, the scenario of the dream case would be performed uncollected karma. Okay, the second fermentation. The scenario where you are during waking state, you have a strong intention to kill somebody, to murder or to kill somebody, but somehow you couldn't do it, it was done by somebody else. In that case, it was only collected, not performed. So, third permutation. So, a fourth permutation where karma doesn't have a collection or performance would be mental state of a mental factor, okay? States of a mental factor in coma or in deep cessation meditation. In coma. Coma?
Coma.
Coma. Coma is a linguistic, isn't it? Coma.
Martel.
Remove the second example. What did I say?
You said meditative concentration, but it didn't.
Cessation.
Cessation.
For Kuen Yim Chu. But here, for Kuen Yim Chu, Geshe-la says, So, Kokpola Nyabhujo means, this is, again, it's a mouthful, please, okay, get it. It is a non-associated compositional factor. Please write it down. Non-associated compositional factor which you develop as a means to enter meditative absorption of the fourth samadhi, fourth concentration stage, fourth concentration stage in the form realm, in the form realm. So at that stage, like being in a coma, mind and mental factors are absent. Mind and mental factors are absent, or rather in dormant at least.
Lush. 其实刚才那种洗澡，你刚出门来几多？那，这个都别话都不给我，你敢用过了吗？
So then, the first permutation where a karma has both collection and performance, there could be virtues as well as non-virtues. Virtues can be collected and performed, as can non-virtues.
嗯，那这些上有个村民，你给为了你们给了，反正也难用。那可能另外一个空中那所讲的，就是见到嘛，嘛这玩意，那些呢，电脑没办法用啊。你给玩意，那这需要当也不嘛，现在那些呢，电脑没用着啊，太轻了，现在容易来事。So
a karma of the first fermentation is known by another name. A karma with the first fermentation, okay, like okay.
What is that word, fermentation?
P-E-R-U-T-A-T-I-O-N. That means possibilities.
Permutation.
That's what you're saying, yeah. That means, you know, in mathematics, you know, like subset and so on.
Oh,
if this is that, you know, this kind of thing. Anyway, now, Geshe-la says, importantly, a karma of first permutation is known by another name, and that is called nyongigile. Okay, a karma that must be experienced definitely. A karma that must be experienced definitely. Now that means, if you have performed a virtuous, strong, virtuous karma, which has collection of motivation and actual performance, then that karma will remain ever strong or ever potent, regardless of the length of time, unless that virtuous karma is destroyed, consumed by strong anger. Unless short of destruction by anger, that positive karma with collection and performance will one day definitely give rise to its effect, which the person who performed must experience. On the negative side of the ledger, karmic ledger, if you perform a negative karma with a strong strong collection of motivation and actual performance, it too will give rise to the strong effect, unpleasant physiopsychological experience, sooner or later, unless that karma meets its destruction at the hand of antidotes in purification practice.
嗯，这个当那，日些天呢，上了当，当那个生得的，去，去了那以后，几天，那怕是根本都不能去，来上路了。过后去来了呢，养不了，来上路了呢。那就，我们老那天那个啥子，来学过嘛的，来学了嘛的，到时候干嘛了？
来了。这个到来学的，给几几个人都是，算你们怎么算用的？ So when we consider these facets of karma, we learn the need to be very circumspect at all times and introspective, not to give opportunity for karma either to be collected all performed. You know, given that as in dream, you collect karma, sorry, as in dream, you perform karma, not collect. But in a waking state, there are many, many instances of collection of karma, not performed, and so on. So karma can be collected, or karma can be performed. Almost each time a thought goes out, there's a collection of a karma. And so it, in a reflection on these facets of a karma, teaches us that we need to be more introspective.
其实我们当然这个学校里面这个未来也能，要往永久我套起来了。学校里面这个未来也能，到最后永久我套起来了。到所以说，学校里面，有些大多数是包括了。So
if it is a virtuous karma with collection and performance, then you are bound to experience pleasant effect. Physically or psychologically or both. If you perform a negative karma with collection and performance, you are also bound to experience its effect, an unpleasant physical, verbal, so physical or psychological or both. And now it's you know, one is the best judge of one's own mind, one's own character, and see where the time to re-evaluate one's position in the karmic ledger, and then take necessary precautions and so on. So, karma, in terms of how you experience, numbing means ripening effect. In terms of a ripening effect of karmic karma, there are three ways.
And
the first set of karma is 통주 용결길래. That means karma experience in the visible life. Karma experience in the visible life. That means somebody who performs karma in this lifetime, either positive or negative, a strong karma, and the result of that karma is experienced in the same life.
Okay, now,
for example, during Buddha's time, you know, one monk, a disgruntled monk, he became angry with the male Sangha community, and he said, "You all like a women, you behave like women." And then it is said that in that very lifetime he became a woman. That is not to say one's life is good or bad, not casting aspersion, just what's happened to him. So that's what I've just given is an example, and but you know there are many cases where people perform strong karma or karmas that are extremely potent, and the result, unlike most karma, would be experienced later in life. So, Tongju, the first type of karma, karma experience in the visible life. Our karma or actions performed in relation to Sangha members, in relation to Buddhas, in relation to one's parents, in relation to one's spiritual mentors, and so on. And these people, these beings, are special category of beings in terms of richness of qualities, in terms of kindness to one. And so if one performs either positive or negative karma, the result would not wait. A few lifetimes would be experienced in the same life. The second karma, the result of whose ripening effect is experienced in the next life, Kinnen Nyongkyul means karma experience in the after next rebirth. So that karma, as the word says, is a karma you perform in a given lifespan, and the result is experienced in the very next life, rather than rather than down the track after so many lifetimes. And then Lendeng Xielen Nyonggyur Gile, karma experience, karma whose ripening effects I experience in several subsequent or after all in several subsequent lifetimes. So this karma means one performs a karma. Let's say in this lifetime, but the effect is not the effect is experienced in the life after the next, and or even after 1,000 years later, and so on. Then there's another division of karma, and where there are another division of karma called Penjigile, precipitating karma or projecting karma. The second is called Dzogji, means completing karma. So now here again, we can have a fermentation. four. Okay, the first permutation, the first possibility would be a case where the precipitating karma is virtuous, but completing karma is non-virtuous. The example of that would be a human being whose life, all their life, and they have nothing but trouble after trouble after trouble, or really living in abject poverty, misery, sickness, and they now, as a human, their projecting karma is virtuous, for only virtuous karma gives rise to a human life form. But the quality of that human life is just nothing but pain and misery. So it is completed, but the quality is completed, determined by negative karma. So the second possibility, permutation is a negative projecting karma, but virtuous completing karma. So the example here would be nagas, subterranean beings. Nagas, you know nagas? So nagas are almost like, how would you explain naga to Ray? Nagas are like, like mermaid. You know mermaid? Is it?
Dragons or something like that.
Don't they bear wealth on their head?
Anyway, nagas are, a class of beings, and they are class of animal. They're in the class of animals, but they're extremely wealthy. They have jewels and so on. And now, because they are naga, they are animals, and animal lifetime, animal life is projected by negative karma. But the quality of life they have is extremely, abundant. It's a life of abundance of jewels, precious stones, and so on. So they have a fantastic material quality. So the third permutation would be a karma where both rejecting and completing are virtues. And an example of that would be Indra. Indra is the king of gods. Indra is the king of gods. And fourth permutation is projecting karma and completing karma are both negative, non-virtuous. And that would be karma of a being in hell realm.
Nice.
So, in our life, which is a human life, it had one protecting karma. And as long as we live, the raft of our experiences that we have in life, some pleasant, others not pleasant, or pain, and all human experiences that an individual human being undergoes are completed karmas, instances of completed karma. How does karma ripen? How does karma ripen? There are four. According to Abhidhamma Kosha, Vasubandhu, remember whose name we heard before? According to Vasubandhu, B-A-S-U, Vasubandhu, B-A-N-D-U, according to him, there are four ways. So, Nambin means a ripening effect. Ripening effect means a kind of a life, you know, species life. We are human beings, then they are animals, then they are gods and hell beings and so on. And in the animal realm, there are so many of them. So what kind of species life you ripens on you in the next life is called ripening effect. It's called species life form that ripens. So according to Vasubandhu, there are four ways. Number one is the weight of the karma. The weight of the karma determines the ripening effect. And the weight of karma happens at the time of death. You know, at the time of death, you are going through the death process. And then, as you're going through the death process, since there are so many, you have a bottomless bag of karmas. So which karma will ripen in the next lifetime? So then, according to Vasubandhu, of all these karmas, the karma that is the heaviest, the gravest, will be activated by the dying mind, and the result of that karma, either virtue or non-virtue, will ripen. So now the second possibility, the second way is assuming that two equally strong karma compete as it were at the time of death. Then which karma will ripen? its effect. A karma that is closer to the dying stage will ripen fast.
到尿吧赢了,
is that in time or place? Closer to the dying stage.
Yes.
Is that in time or place?
Time.
Time. Time.
Kishila. And the Anyawas in the Jew, do Nyawas reward of Sada Nyawas reward of
time,
time. Time.
She let it on Nyawas even if I said a little less, I am. That is no new.
So that means time, for example, before, just before you die, you know, you have collected and performed a karma, and it's very strong as another karma, you know, performed earlier on. So both of them, in terms of their strength, they are about the same. So then Geshe-la says, according to Vasubandhu, which will ripen first? Because they are equally strong. The karma closer to death, performed closer to death, will ripen first. Now, in case of a karma where there is equal strength and equal distance, proximity, then which will ripen?
嗯，他听了吗？能。他都念不完。哦，念不完，念几把些，念了我几把些。能。他听那个，你来到那么念了，他说是恐怕肯定欠了，你对，那么念不完的。So
in that case, karma one is more familiar with, would be activated for its ripening effect. So, okay, that is karma that is both equally strong and, you know, equal distance from the time of death. Which one? So, karma that you are more familiar with, so that karma will be selected.
ngen de chuo yin ne te ma nyong ka re lang na ma la na ma ko le ni to nyong ma ni ye no ji ja ngen che ya ma ro la re ji ka ne ngen de chi su ne te ga ro ti ne nam nyong ta te te ani che ngen ba ma ro ti ni ba ya ma ta che de ti ka ro shu ka la ma ji la men se ja wa su ji se ji wa chi na ta le to de cha no ro la re ti nam nyong ro la re che de ta ta nyong ba ni re nyong ma kong ba nyong ba yin ne ta ngi me de ka de ngen de chi su ne te ga ne si ta no.
So the fourth situation is where a karma, the strength, they are same in strength, same in the distance, proximity to death, and same in the power of familiarity. Then, okay, let's say the two karmas, they are, okay, although there are so many karma, given choosing two of them, and they are equally strong, they are very equally close to death, time of death, and the person is equally familiar with both of them. Now, which will happen first? It's random.
Random.
Random. Comic random game. That's why it's in Buddhist, death ritual, it's considered extremely important. Suppose I am about to break my last, and then you know what you do is you recite Buddha's name, names of the guru. You recite, you talk about bodhicitta, the power of bodhicitta, and so you help me, you help the dying person to hear these, and as you hear these, and you know, then it will trigger a positive mind. it will make the dying mind positively strong, and then the mind at death is extremely strong and extremely critical as to where you might be reborn. So you're reciting names of the Buddha, names of the Guru, reciting prayers of Bodhicitta and so on, will have a strong impact and will greatly benefit in activating positive, strong karma. So we have I've spent a great deal of time to cover to the origin of suffering in terms of delusions, in terms of karma, and then it is these two that causes the third of the three sufferings, which is the third of three truths of suffering. Truth of suffering of actual pain, truth of suffering of a change of our pleasure into displeasure or pain, and the third is called the truth of pervasive conditioning, and which is the mere presence that we have, the mere possession that we have of this afflicted aggregate of a body and mind. And so that is the real truth of suffering that we need to be free from. To be free from that, we need to be free from truth of origin of suffering, these namely karma and delusions. So, for example, our existence is a human existence, although far better than that of animals and so on. Our existence is fraught with the suffering, it's within samsara. And therefore, the beginning cause of this lifetime's existence is ignorance, because this lifetime has emerged from non-liberating meritorious actions and delusions and karma. So this is how our life started off. And when we breathe our last, whenever we are going to breathe our last, it will be again the dependent link of craving and grasping, which are also delusion, attachment. So when we finish off, when we conclude this life, it will be karma that will select. So it will be this mental factor of craving and grasping, they will select a negative again a karma to perpetuate existence. So as you can see from this, life begins with ignorance, the delusion, the king of delusion. Life concludes. A particular life concludes with the delusion. So life is permeated profoundly, extensively by delusion.
Yeah, Teji tawa ne mariba kogores. Ta chi nodo ngine tunan mariba ta kono ngishu jasa ne zeji ta jol ngi ne ta chi ngor te man ta chi rego.
So from this it is abundantly clear that delusions are at the root. And obviously, we do not want to face any hardships, any suffering. By simply not wishing suffering, sufferings are not going to go away. Sufferings will follow sufferings will follow karmic or the causal pattern. And if you really do not want to suffer and be free from this permanently. We need to be free from delusions permanently. To be free from delusions, first of all, we need to be free from ignorance. And ignorance here refers to, as somebody said before, is a determined adherence. Determined adherence to true existence. Or intrinsic existence of a person and a phenomena. It is from there that all delusions stem from. So for a true Buddhist practitioner, all their effort should be made to dispel, to destroy that ignorance. So, we're going to stop here. Thank you very much. Any questions, by the way? Any critical questions?
I didn't understand the difference between the motivated and the motivation.
Geshe-la, then. Sempe-le, sampe-le, the So motivating karma is a mental factor. Okay, mental factor in the mind before its expression is found in the body and verbal actions. And sampele, motivated karma, is a translation of that motivation in terms of prostration, in terms of offering, or in terms of insulting somebody or hitting somebody. Inflicting pain, from which people then know, people can read your mind. So from what you do, so it's motivated. So your actions reflect what's going on in the mind.
So you said that in the context you mentioned reverence, so that would be the motivating karma.
Yeah, it is.
Which leads to.
Yes.
Is this the same as actions of intention and intended actions?
To say again?
I mean, is this the same as intended actions and actions of intention? Is it the same?
I think actions of intention and intended actions are the same, aren't they? What do you think? That's a great word. Thank you.
I just heard the term, so
it's the same. Intended action.
The action of intention would be the thought, wouldn't it? And the intended action would be the action. That's what the language seems to say.
Yeah, intended. Could you say that?
The action of intention is the thought.
There.
Uh-huh. The intended action is the action.
The action itself, yeah. Great. Geshe-la, can you show the role? I'm going to ask a question, sorry. अनि चेकि खण्डेनीलाई कैसे लगेर भयो अनि छ कान काइने अनि चेके पनि त्यहाँदेखि यसलाई चुङ्गे सासन र कैसे लाँदै यसलाई चुङ्गे अनि चेके मरे पल्ला त्यहाँदेखि ल्या ल्याले त्यहाँदेखि नम्सी नम्सी त्यहाँदेखि अनि मजा त्यहाँदेखि कसी भयो चुङ्गोहरू रहेछ भयो अनि चेके त कसी त कालो त्यहाँदेखि चुङ्गो छैन केवलले त्यहाँदेखि केवा अनि अनि कसरी कसी केवल त्यो शिवलाई त्यहाँदेखि शिव कान्छन् त्यही यहाँ मरे पल्ला त्यहाँदेखि चुङ्गो रहेछ त कानलाई माथिम बे छु यो मरे यसो भयो त्यहाँदेखि हिमा नहोस् र अनि तिम्रो त घर मरेको पद घर मरेको पद घर त्यहाँदेखि चुम्बो रहेछ
म त्यो खोइ जल्दैन
Everything in a pure world of a Buddha is an impure world of sentient beings is has risen dependent on something else. And then I give an example of our life. This life has come as a result of the 12 dependent links from ignorance, karma on the consciousness, and then on so on. And then, if you stop, okay, ignorance, stopping ignorance is dependent on stopping rebirth. Stopping rebirth is dependent on, you know, all that you can trace back. And if you stop ignorance, then everything comes to an end. So my question was, what is ignorance dependent on for it exists? Therefore, where does it come from? And Geshe-la says, from its cause. That's a good, I think it's an evasive answer. Geshe-la, you're going to do it, right? But you're going to do it, right? Land, you're going to do it. No, I'll tell you the truth, he says now.
당한테 저도 공원 탄주를 시샤와이나 고로 나한테 치지 당도 그지 신이 시보라서
저
소소도 군부대 진통이 오라
나래
군부 통지 때문에 대가 되는 나 아니야 그거 신이라 고로 당도 신이 더 뒤지라는 이제 다 해지 이제 다 대가 요원 좀 이제 봐 뒤지는 녜에서 좀 잘라 진도 좀 미비 좀 같이 신이 오라 나 뒤지 치지 당도 고로 당도 이제 시 고로 당도 해 당가 요원 좀 이제 신이 신이
So, then Geshe-la says, according to Prasangika school, according to Prasangika is the highest, the top Buddhist school of thought. According to that, ignorance.
Jisi
Phumbu Tsiyung Tisi Tila Ngan Tsiyung Tiriwa.
Tiriwa. Phumbu Tsiyung Tungu Jitira Nga Tawaru Chiji Tanda Shiyatara.
Nasi.
Ti Shiyatara Yang Nga Sanzi Tiri Jini Lo Shiyung Lo. Tiri Kuzo Tanda Shiyashiyo. Na Tumu Tsiyung Mariba Tsiyung Tiri Shiyung.
An Phumbu Tsiyung Kona Timu Mariba?
Timu Shiyashiyo. Tari Nga Tsiyung Jita Shiyuwi Tsiyashiyo Korwa.
Narela.
Shiyung Tanda Shiyung Tanda Kaka Tumu Shiyungo.
Narela.
An Jita Tepura Nga Rung Tsiyung Tumu Tsiyung Tumu Tsiyung Tumu
Tsiyung
저 가르 때는 시험을 치지 나온다 때는 시험을 시험 왔다. 치지 나온다 때문에 부모로 온생이로 완전히 티켓이 님한테 지단 통용으로.
So Krishna says, according to high school of thought, the ignorance of a person, ignorance about person, that is grasping person, ignorance of grasping person existing as truly or independently arises from grasping at aggregates. And a grasping at aggregate is called a conception of self of a phenomena. Okay, ignorance of self a person arises from conception of self of a phenomena. Self of phenomena means our aggregates. So, first of all, you see the aggregate. As soon as you see aggregate, you know, The mere sight of somebody's aggregate, your aggregate, somebody's aggregate, you have developed ignorance about self or phenomena. From that, then you think to yourself, if it is your aggregate, I, my person, exists truly. And if it is somebody else's aggregate, he, she exists truly, their person. And then from that, you develop ignorance called mine. Mine, you know? My body, my mind, the idea of inherent mind. And from that, then you develop an idea of my other things, like my car and my house. Anyway, in terms of our process of generation between two grasping at phenomena and grasping at self of, I'll say that again, grasping at self of a phenomena and person, first you develop grasping at self of phenomena, then person. But when in terms to when you understand selflessness of person and phenomena, you develop selflessness about person first, phenomena later. Yeah. Thank you very much. I think we need to stop. Thank you.